Welcome to the Queens of Effing Everything podcast, where we talk about how queens of the past influence queens today.
We're not talking monarchy, we're talking about everyday women deciding to become great.
We're your hosts. I'm Kenitha Amor Porter, founder of Amor Women, and
I'm Erica Helwig, founder of Boss Evolution. Thanks for joining us today.
Welcome back, queens. Did you miss us? It's been a whole month.
It's been so long. It feels like literally like it's been a long time.
I know.
But it's only been a month.
I know. Oh, yeah. Okay. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
2023.
I know. 2023 is going to be simply amazing. It's going to be an amazing year.
Of course.
I just feel it already.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So now that you have partied your way through the holidays, you start new and you're starting fresh, we have some fresh inspiration for you, right? Yes, we have a new queen.
New queen. Sarah Chapman is who we're going to be chatting about today. And Kenitha and I came across her because we happened to watch, well, not happen. It's Netflix. Let's be real. We watched the same movies around the same time and it got our brains going.
Yes. Yes. So we watched Enola Holmes 2.
And one.
Yeah. Well, one and two. Yes. Our queen is based on the second one, but I love like Sherlock Holmes and Enola Holmes. I love that they're doing this feature on her. I can't wait till they come out with another one. But this is where we found our queen. So you can find your queens any and everywhere. You can find it in books. I think you first heard about it in your college class.
Yes. Yeah. I had a lot of history courses during college.
Yeah.
So Matchstick Girls, it's like one of those things that kind of like sticks out in your brain.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But I couldn't remember any of the details. But then when we watched this movie and Kenitha, I think you texted me like the day after I just happened to watch this movie. Hey, I want to talk about Sarah Chapman. I'm like, wait a minute. Where do I know that name from? Mm-hmm. I just watched it in a movie. So here we are.
Yes.
We're going to chat about Sarah Chapman. We're going to be talking about what she and the other women surrounding her did back in the 1800s. So
right.
Ready to just dive right in?
Let's dive right in.
Let's do it. All right. We're traveling all the way to London, England, my friends.
Yes.
Maybe some of you are already there. I love England.
I'm
just going to throw that out there. So Sarah Chapman, she was born October 31st in 1862. Little Halloween baby.
Yes.
And she was the fifth of seven children. Her father was Samuel. Her mother was Sarah Ann. And they were all born and lived for their entire lives in London, England. Hmm. Her father was a brewer's servant and also worked at the docks. Her mother was a matchstick girl. So Sarah's life, childhood-wise, she was quite stable, which was uncommon for a working-class family at this time. She and her siblings received some sort of education because they could all read and write.
Mm.
Also not as common during this time.
Right. Okay, so I know everything that Erica just told you sounds like a nice, rosy, really nice story, but it isn't. So I'm going to set the scene for you and tell you what's about to happen and how she became she's our queen, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we talked about her becoming a matchmaker, working for the company that her mother worked for. And in 1880, they were a huge employer because they employed 5,000 people and most of them were females. For little pay and long hours, like up to 14 hours a day, young girls and women worked in dangerous conditions. They worked with dangerous materials like white phosphorus that could cause and form cancer known as Fossey jaw. That sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
Right? Fossey jaw destroyed the bones of the jaw, causing painful toothache, swelling of the gums, tooth loss, and eventually neurosis of the jaw within 6 months. So at this time, Sarah has been with this company for 7 or 8 years, and this has not happened to her. So she's so lucky that it didn't happen to her, but this was happening to girls often. They were told to just remove their teeth or they would be fired. Like, you're having a toothache? Oh, your gums are swollen? I can't. The smell. So just like the hygiene back then was not as good as it is here. So just think, if you have women who are dealing with phossy jaw all throughout the plant, the smell of that.
Yeah.
How do they even live and eat? And so anyways, okay. So remember when I told you it was going to get like to the gross part, and this is not a pleasant story. This is where we're at.
We're here. We've arrived.
We have arrived. Many of the workers were barefoot as shoes were too expensive. So let me set the scene. You're in a factory, 5,000 workers, and you know there's not a lot of space around. A lot of the workers have phossy jaw, so they have swollen, pus-filled teeth or gums, and even loss of jaw because of cancer. No one has shoes on their feet. Like, this is insane. How do you even go to work day in and out 14 hours a day like this and still be able to be productive when you get home? Workers were lucky if they actually got to take their full amount home. So on top of this, they're already getting paid little for their efforts. They use this right here as leverage. So they would, as a series of fines were levied by the foreman, so which was deducted from their pay. So they use foremen to say, if you're not doing what I'm telling you to do, if you're not doing fast enough, or if you make a mistake, I'm taking it out of your pay. That was that's how they controlled these women. Yep. By fear of losing money out of their pay. Man.
And they would nitpick too. It was, yes, like, hey, your feet are dirty.
So one beautiful day, they decided to
go on strike.
Yes.
So through the years, they actually did quite a few strikes. Mm-hmm. And there were some major ones. There was one in 1881, 1885, 1886. It seems like there would be a spurt where everything was okay. They were putting up with all of these issues. But we start to see a pattern. The women go on strike every few years. By the time we get to 1888, the working conditions in the match factory it grew into an open outrage, right? Mm-hmm. It was like a volcano.
Yeah.
And it erupted.
Yeah.
So all of these issues led to a woman writing an article. Her name was Annie Besant. And she was a prominent social reformer. She talked about all the factory conditions in this article that she wrote. So now it's out there even more alongside with these people striking and exactly. Everything. So after this article came out, Bryant and May, the company, they were completely furious. They tried to cover it up. This was like what broke the camel's back. Mm-hmm. Trying to cover it up, they wanted to force the workers to sign false statements saying, hey, no, this is...
I have all my teeth.
Look. Yeah, I have all my teeth. No, working conditions are great.
Right, just look at my teeth.
Yeah, fantastic. Exactly. This set the workers off. They refused. Something happened where one of the higher up and a worker, they went toe-to-toe. They ended up dismissing this worker. And this dismissal of the worker and them asking these women to sign all these false reports led to another strike. Now, this is the strike. The women started demanding other concessions from them.
I love that. The power of women when we come together and stick together. And I'm just so glad to see that to not allow fear. And we talk about that too, like overcoming your fear. Like, because if they lose their jobs, like they were getting paid next to nothing.
Yeah.
And they were in horrible conditions.
Yeah.
And so I'm so glad that they did that. But after, like, this is the aftermath. Okay. Mm-hmm. So next day, nearly 200 workers led by Sarah Chapman and two others went to Annie's office asking for help, which she agreed to and created a strike committee. Sarah Chapman was one of the first members of the Match Girls Strike Committee. At the first meeting, some newspapers provided positive publicity and MPs finally started to listen. So like, she gave them a voice. I love that. Mm-hmm. And just under the fortnight, 2 weeks, Sarah and the committee met with Brian and May to discuss terms, and all the strike's demands were met.
That's amazing. Crazy.
In 2 weeks. Now they've been striking and striking and striking, and it needed to happen. It needed to, you know, sometimes it's not going to happen on the first time or second time. So all those mini strikes needed to happen for them to say, you know what, and the big strike to actually happen. Yeah, right?
And it's a great lesson for the rest of us. So sometimes you decide to stand up and have your voice be heard.
Yes.
And you get smacked down. But you know what?
It's not for you to stay down.
No. Yes. Keep getting up. Mm-hmm. Keep getting up, because
this is what's going to happen. You're going to get what you want. All the strike demands were met.
Yep.
I love that. Sarah was elected to the new union committee, and there was the first rep to International Trade Union Congress. Sarah and Annie both attended, and in 1890 conference, Sarah was the only one of 10 women out of nearly 500 delegates. I was about to say 50, but no, it was 500 delegates to attend. This shows how highly regarded she was by others.
500 delegates and only 10 of them are women.
Yeah.
So you have these 10 women going up.
Yeah.
With all these men.
Yes. And I mean, to this day, it's still like that. You know, I've been on a lot of boards and committees, and I'm the only woman, or I'm the only woman and the only person of color, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like that, but we have to not allow that to intimidate us to not do it. Our voices need to be heard. And if we're not there to give our voices, then they don't think about us. And I don't want to act like everyone is bad and evil. That's not the case.
Right.
But they can't think for women, right? They're men. And so sometimes it's not because they want to do something bad to us or leave us out. It's just that they haven't thought about everything. So if you have an opportunity to have a position or to be able to lend your skills and abilities to a member of an organization, committee, group, club, I mean, I can go on and on. Do it. Definitely do it, because they need to hear our voices.
Absolutely. And like you said, just because not every man is out there to do us harm or keep us down there, especially nowadays, there are so many men who are feminists and want to help us, but
they don't know how.
Yeah.
If they don't talk to us, if we're not a part of that, they don't know. Our husbands want, they'll do anything to support
us. They're both feminists.
Exactly. Absolutely. But we need to tell them what it is that we need so they can help us. Right.
Yeah. And sometimes as a woman, we have like a specific point of view on a certain topic, and they might, you know what? I never thought of it that way.
Exactly.
Or I never saw it from that perspective.
And then not until they create a machine that allows people to read your minds,
which hard pass. All right. We're squirreling out, but very important message that we're, you know,
that we needed to talk about for a second.
Yeah. Which, all right. So back to Sarah. So, in 1891, Sarah actually left the factory because she got married to Charles Dearman. He was a cabinet maker, and she and Charles ended up having 6 children. So unfortunately, 3 of them predeceased Sarah. I think that was very common during the times to lose children. Sarah lived to see women get the vote in 1918 in England, but they didn't fully get the vote until 1928 in England. So, and by fully, I mean there were all these stipulations. Mm-hmm. So 1918 in England, they gave women the vote, but it was like if you are middle, upper middle class, if you're married, there were all kinds of stipulations for you being able to vote.
Exactly. And I always want to mention, women of color did not have the right to vote until 1965, which my mother was.
Well, that was in the U.S. I don't know what it was in England.
I'm just saying the U.S.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So when Sarah died, she, unfortunately, she ended up in a pauper's grave, which means she ended up in a poor person's grave, really with no big marker or anything. So she's buried in Manor Park Cemetery and Crematorium in East London. And this was at the end of 1945. So I actually came across a blog, a website, and it is Sarah's great-granddaughter had written about a bunch of information about this situation, but she ended up finding Sarah's unmarked grave in 2017, and she raised funds for a headstone. Mm-hmm. So along with this, she started a charity called the Match Girls Memorial, and they're dedicated to keeping their legacy alive with statues, memorials, murals, mosaics, street naming, plays, you name it, in the community. That. So even though we're, you know, well over 100 years later, they're over there still trying to keep this honoring memory alive, honoring them.
Because we know, and they know there, right? We're in two different countries, but we know the people who have preceded us that went through these things, that fought for our rights, we wouldn't be where we are today. So there should not be an amount of time that goes past that we're like, oh, that happened so long ago, we shouldn't do it. We should always be trying to honor them because we have it easier today because of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's great that, you know, at the time, it probably didn't seem like a massive deal. It was like, okay, well, we got what we wanted. And then Sarah's like, all right, well, I'm going to go get married and have some kids and live my life. But looking back on it, it was a really, really big deal.
Yeah, it was a really big deal. So that is our superstar, our queen for this month. And I'm excited that we were able to go across the waters to be able to to talk about a queen. And she made such a huge difference. And so we're so thankful. Last year, we talked about, you know, we just want to get our podcast up and going, and we want to kind of get this rhythm going, and we're not going to worry about anything else. That's it. We have like so many people who want to partner with us, right? And so we're super excited about that. What are we looking for, Erica?
So we're going to be sifting through some sponsors. Of course, sponsors, what this means for you as our listeners is we will be able to travel a little bit more, talk to more people, to bring you these awesome stories, this information. This will also help us bring events locally and virtually, because why not?
Exactly.
So we would love for you to be more involved with us. And we'd love to meet some of our listeners that aren't local as well.
And we would love for you to meet some of the amazing people that we've met along the way by doing this podcast. Everyone we've ever met doing this podcast has been simply amazing and helpful and everything. So we want to be able to offer more. And so if you know a company that's out there that is women focused, it doesn't have to be owned, but they care and they respect and they want to do business with women and they want to take care of them, definitely help us get connected with them so we can make sure that we're offering that to other women, right? Because we want to make sure that women know, like if they hear an ad or an ad on our podcast, that that company is going to take great care of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very important to us. So there are so many companies that Kenneth and I work with in just our businesses locally that are very, very supportive of women of young girl entrepreneurs, yes, learning, all of that. So if you yourself are interested, or like Kenitha said, you know a company that would be a great fit, mm-hmm, with us, reach out to us. Contact us on the socials. And we'll we have some links below as well. So yes, you can just clickety click and it'll take you right to our socials, yes, and reach out to us, because we are going to be looking to partner with some wonderful companies and, yeah, individuals this year.
Yay, 2023. Oh, by the way, we're going to add some links to the website for the Match Girls. The Match Girls. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining us again for another Queens of Effing Everything.
Thank you. Yes. We'll see you next month.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Bye. Bye.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us.
For more information, check out the links below and join the conversation on our socials.
We'd love to hear from you and any additional fun facts that you may have. I'm Kenitha.
And I'm Erica. Make sure to tune in next month for another episode of
The Queens of Effing Everything.